shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The talk of the town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Daytime turns me off and I don't need maybe.
Always worth waiting for. Thanks for hanging around for Nocturnal Journal. Thank you guys for coming in. We got Ben Ezra and Steve Stoll. We're going to play some music. Ben, you're from the old Ukrainian village neighborhood, but I don't think I ever ran into you all the years I...
Well, no, you didn't.
What were you doing? You talk about some of your background. I mean, with the coffee and dark matter and
right. Dark Matter is a coffee roasting company in Chicago, and they've been around for 12 years, and I've been there for about 11. And pretty early on, I was in the coffee shop there where it all began, and was doing little.
Was that the Chicago Avenue one?
The Chicago Avenue, right. Star Lounge Coffee Bar.
I told you I was there when it was the Star Lounge.
Yeah,
it was a bar before that.
And I was doing a lot of drawings there, and pretty soon I was asked to put the artwork on the bags of coffee, and it's on the shelf in Whole Foods, and the company's exploding everywhere. So, yeah, it's been a great little community there.
Dark Matter Coffee. And we were talking before we went on the air. How many Dark Matter stores are there now?
Off the top of my head, I think there's 5 or 6 currently open now in Chicago, and a 7th one on the way for out.
Every time I'm driving around, it seems like there's a new one. Is there one on Grand?
Yeah, we just opened one there. That's where we do cold brew and do canning of the coffee there. And then it's like a bodega in the front. You can buy candy bars and chips and pinatas and coffee.
And then there's one on Western. I've been to that one.
Yeah, I lived above that place for 5 years. It was an excellent place to live and have a lot of house concerts in there. And nobody lived downstairs or above me, so it was loud as we wanted to be.
So you do the drawing...
The drawing?
Well, the drawings, yeah.
Yes.
And then you do music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, talk a little about the music.
I did music before and in Indiana, and I was doing pretty well around Purdue University. Had my name out there, and we were rocking out in the Lafayette music scene, a lot of good music there. It was a great experience, but I moved here for a little bit more of a challenge, and I found out kind of... what it was like to be a small fish again in a really big pond. And over time, it's gotten smaller and smaller and smaller.
When did you move here?
2008. So I moved here at a great time to find a job. And I'm joking there because nobody had a job that didn't already have one. And a lot of people were worried about losing their own. And so I went through all of that.
Are you talking about day work or music work?
Everything.
Everything?
Everything, yeah.
Had you scoped out the scene before you moved here musically?
I did. I used to come up here and do the Uncommon Ground gigs, and I think I did a Reggie's show as well before moving here. And I had some connections to music, but coming here having to rebuild an audience, I kind of spent a lot of time drawing and like finding that, you know, maybe I was in a writer's block with music and that the drawing was kind of where things were flowing. And yeah.
What came first for you? The drawing or the music?
Well, I got my parents got rid of the TV when I was young, and so they handed me a sketch pad, and from there I was sketching as a kid, and you know, and then I taught myself guitar when I was 13, and over time, you know, I was writing my own music and stuff, and that kind of absorbed, took all my attention there, you know, and I forgot about the visual art, but they're two different. Mediums, you know, that kind of fill different gaps, but I feel like when I put them together that I have a more complete picture sometimes of what my thoughts are and what my idea or concept is for a new project.
I read in some of the background on you that you grew up at a campground in Brown County, Indiana.
Yeah, beautiful Brown County. Yeah, you know, Brown County, Indiana has one official town, and that's Nashville, and it's an old artist colony from way, way back, and a lot of landscape painters, and so nature's been a big part of my life since I was about 9 years old. And growing up at the camp, that was my hometown, you know. People say, where are you from? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'm from a camp, and you had people from all over the state and all over the Midwest and maybe more beyond that, but those were the people that I knew the most, and that's where I hung out a lot in the woods.
I mean, did you live in the campground?
I did, year-round. My dad was the manager of the campground, and then we'd have summer camp programming in the summer with kids and counselors, college staff coming in, and they'd bring guitars, and I learned to play guitar from watching them and always around opportunities to play at campfires every night and get used to playing in front of people.
Was it year-round?
And then in the fall and the winter, there would be retreat groups, maybe college choirs and more, weddings and stuff.
So, there wasn't a lot of television and stuff in the campground?
There was no cable TV out there anyway, so you had rabbit ears, and you'd lean that against the window and get, like, one station, and it was the WB, and so you could get a grainy sort of Batman after school. But it was really fine. Like I liked being outside, but in some ways, like talking to friends, a lot of people spend a lot of their casual conversation is about pop culture. And so there was some catch up to do, but, I look back now and I'm thankful for that time.
So then when you left Brown County, where did you go?
I went to Purdue University.
You went to Purdue?
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you study there?
I studied film and television production, and I ran video for the basketball games.
Oh, that's right. I read the ad, like Big Ten games. Right?
Yeah, I loved it. Loved it. I'm a huge college basketball fan now from that experience. Yeah.
How tall are you?
Oh, well, if you want to go there, I am 6'6" and a half. And funny thing is, I have a band I put together, and we wanted to be the biggest band in Chicago. So I thought, let's have a tall band. And it's funny, I didn't go on Craigslist and beg for tall people to come introduce themselves. It's actually, I have a lot of tall friends. It turns out that we like each other, and some people like us too, but some people don't like us because we make them seem very small, I guess, around.
We feel comfortable around each other.
Yes, I can look this man in the eye over here. And it's funny because I just know these people, and they are good at what they do, and they're just great guys. And so I didn't have to search, you know.
And it's easy to find each other at shows too, because we just we can see each other across the crowd.
Definitely.
Steve, how tall are you, Steve?
Oh, I'm just 6'4 and a half, so I'm short.
Yeah. The bass player is 6'4, probably 5. He's an engineer for Shure Microphones, so some of us have kind of dad jobs too, you know.
Do you fly to gigs?
I did tour Germany and England back in 2006, and I did fly that.
So I was wondering,
But sometimes I just fly to gigs in Chicago trying to get around the traffic too, you know.
So I want to get back to the camera work. You also did the CMAs?
Yeah.
The Big Ten basketball. Elaborate on that.
And my film teacher at Purdue, he worked Elliott Hall of Productions. Bill Callison, and he also worked for Moo TV out of Nashville.
Oh, I remember, yeah. Are they still around, Moo TV?
I believe so.
Okay.
They were pretty big deal, and they always paid on time, and they had the money, and things were good there. I worked for some places that, you know, just ended up going belly up and not paying, but they're solid. Yeah, very solid. Huge stadium gigs, like 7 camera shoots and all this, yeah.
Yeah.
Every country star, you know. And, you know, I also, from that, started to like country a little bit.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So, do you remember some of the shows you shot or some of the events you...
Yeah. I filmed Billy Ray Cyrus on a little stage, and then a few years later, I filmed him on the big stage after Hannah Montana was a big deal. I filmed Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers and Rascal Flatts and Taylor Swift and Jewel. And I'd say one of my favorite was Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah.
And I really liked Neil McCoy, too. Some people were just cool to hang out with.
You know, McCoy.
And they were nice guys, yeah.
Yeah. And then so you go to Purdue, and then you come to Chicago.
I did, yeah. I stayed at Purdue for a little while, and my art teacher, she got me a job there. And I was working in an alternative school with kids, and then I came here for a bigger challenge and a larger perspective.
Okay, now that we've set the table, we're going to take a break, and then you're going to come back and play a song?
Mm-hmm. You're in it now.
Okay, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. So welcome back with Ben Ezra and Steve Stoll. And I heard a little bit during our sound check. I'm really looking forward to this. So why don't you set up the song you're going to, first song you're going to play?
All right, the song's called You're In It Now. Changing my direction, let the light bend through a prism. When you're in it, you wanna get out, but you're in it now. Another sunrise and another sunset. Days between the kitchen, bathroom, and my bed. When you're feeling low in the place you call home, get out of your head. Cut through the alley, take a walk down to the store. I wanna see the future, for it stabs me in the dark. Finally got some distance now between the ceiling and the floor. Last connection through the hustle and the fray. Try to get someone's attention, but they look the other way. Do you think of darkness, or do you think of light? What keeps you up at night? Darling, it's just a passing phase. Till the day you climb that ladder and look down at this maze. Your spirit's on fire, I'm here to fan the flames. Your spirit's on fire, staring in the flames. Beautiful. Thank you.
Ben Ezra, Steve Stoll. Thank you. Now, oh, look at the fireworks. That's a perfect punctuation to your song, man.
Yeah.
How can people find your stuff? I mean, do you have gigs coming up? Where can people buy stuff?
If you're in Chicago, I am doing a gig at the Star Lounge Coffee Bar on August 23rd in the evening around 9 o'clock-ish, and there'll be some other performers there as well. And you can go to SearsTowerOfFolk.bandcamp.com. And I have some newer tracks up there, kind of our practice tapes and things that you can listen to in there. You can choose acoustic or electric.
And you've done how many CDs have you done?
Well, I have some unreleased stuff, but I have this one I just handed you there from 2005. And I've released other smaller things, but I can't count them all. They were like little singles that I was selling over the years.
How come I never ran into you? Now, Archie's, did you go? You know, I aged out of Archie's, so I got way too old for Archie's.
Yeah.
What about that little Ukrainian bakery breakfast place? That place is great. What, I can't remember.
Are you talking about Chocolat?
Yeah, right. Did you ever go there?
I lived next to it at one time. You probably would find me at the Star Lounge mostly.
Did you ever work at the Star Lounge behind the counter?
I was never a barista, but yeah. I did in certain peaks and valleys of my life wash dishes there for like $10 way back in the day. And no, I always just did the art there, and then it sort of grew into a full-time gig with some of the wholesale accounting around the city too, so I know a lot of the chefs and people all over town, which is a pretty cool perk.
After the news, I want to talk about some of your mural, the mural and stuff, but how many different places have you lived at in Ukrainian Village?
I'm going to just throw out a number, say five.
Five?
Say five or six.
Why are you attracted to that neighborhood? I know sense of place is very important to you, and we'll talk about that after the news. But
yeah, I stumbled into the neighborhood, and I can't imagine where I would be right now if I didn't just happen to live across the street from the coffee shop I did, you know, and that really carried me through like that community and the art that they let me do there. And I was learning as I went along. I was getting exposure all over the city, and people know my work all over town, but I was learning as I went along too, you know.
So things kind of blossomed for you.
They did. I just happened to want to live across from a coffee shop, and I went in there, and then that little coffee shop roasted 80 pounds a week. Now it does about 80 pounds in 5 minutes. So we've grown a lot, and it's opened up a lot of doors and introduced me and to a lot of people and made this city a lot smaller. And plus, I've always just been had my hands in and on just community everywhere I've lived and trying to bring more culture to it rather than be a consumer of wherever I live and just bounce around consuming places. So
what's the name of the owner there, the founder,
the president of Dark Matter is Jesse Diaz.
Jesse.
We did a Honda commercial. He was in the Honda commercial. And yeah,
back when I used to see him, I mean, did he do something for Ditka once? Did Ditka commission him?
Did you see that?
No, he told me that one time.
I did the He had a 5-pound bag, and we had Ditka's birthday, and he's like, "Can you draw something on this bag?" And so I drew a centaur, but we called it a Ditkatar. And he's drinking coffee everywhere and screaming, you know, in a Ditka way, with the body of a horse. And then there's a quote next to it from Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell, where it says, "Coffee is the lifeblood that fuels the dreams of champions."
Really? Now, was that a commercial thing, or was that just for him?
There was a cake company that was bringing a cake there, and they asked us to for our coffee to go with it. He's like, "Can you do a birthday card for Ditka?" 5 minutes. Like, I ran across the street and did a really fast Ditkatar.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a break for the news, and we're going to come back and talk about some of your artwork. And I want to talk to Steve. We've got everything worked out there. So don't go away. Here, a couple of the songs are great. I also want to talk about Shel Silverstein.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Myself with my own two wings.
this is a contest between you and me. I'm as ravenous as a wolf can be, or as skittish as a coyote.
Ben Ezra and Steve Stoll. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
Sears Tower of Folk Band. Yes.
Talk about that song.
Well, music and art will get me through some peaks and valleys sometimes in life, you know, and everyone has peaks and valleys, and mine may be worse or not as bad, you know, as some people, but at one point I felt like I was in a valley and a hole, you know, where the walls were on every side of me, and I was really stuck, and I was really kind of starting to lock down and like almost like escape into nothing, you know, to deal with it. And I needed a way out. And if I were an eagle or something like that, I would know what to do, you know. But as a human being, you operate on different wavelength than a lot of other creatures do. And but if I were an eagle, you know, I'd lift myself with my own two wings. And eventually, that's what I had to do, you know, was I had to lift myself. And there are great people in my life that were, you know, more than willing to lend a hand, but none of them, you know, can really do everything. You know, like, it's nice to hear a nice word or two from somebody, but you have to do it.
You have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
We were talking during the break. Talk about some of your influences, and I teased before the news, Shel Silverstein, and talk about some of the people that have influenced you, and how'd you come across Shel?
As a kid, going to the library and not having a TV and checking out big stacks of books and, reading Shel Silverstein, lyrics have always been a big thing to me. And words, I guess, starting at Shel Silverstein, just the rhyme.
Yeah.
And the simplicity, but also like his poems would just crack me up as a kid. I would be rolling on the floor. Like Ickle Me, Tickle Me, too, you know, like, but I was rolling, you know, crying. I was laughing so hard at some of them. And I did not know that years later I would move to Ukrainian Village and discover that Shel Silverstein grew up in that same neighborhood, blocks away from where I live.
And you didn't know that till you came here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, back in the day, there were, there were people who, moved here because of John Prine and Steve Goodman and Bonnie Kolak. And I mean, was that on your radar when you were in Indiana?
John Prine was, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else? I was into Wilco.
Yeah.
And I've met them many times, yeah. Almost lived in the bass player's basement, but his basement ceiling is only 6'8", and I'm 6'6" and a half, so I would have been probably going a little crazy down there, so...
So, Steve, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Hey, good. Okay. So how'd you guys hook up? How'd you find each other?
That's a hard one. We have many, many mutual friends. I was in Ukrainian Village for a long time too. I lived there for about 6 years. So
next door neighbor Jason had a recording studio, and he lived above Dark Matter on Western as well until the offices moved in and kicked us both out because we needed more space. But Sandra, Steve's wife, was in a band with this guy, Jason Talungan, next door, and they would record over there and practice. And so I met Sandra and Steve then, and I was asking around, what kind of instruments do people play that you know of in this friend circle? And, Steve plays the keys. I'm like, is he good? And he also plays guitar, and I think you've played drums before too. And
I play a lot of things to a certain degree, but keyboard mostly.
Yeah,
I'm also thoroughly addicted to Dark Matter, so I see Ben all the time over there.
So. Yeah, it was a nice place to stay because I didn't have to call anyone and make big plans. People would come and knock on my door, and I'd be in there drawing on my coloring on stuff and. People come and just hang out and put on some music. And
it's been really cool to see this street level project, because I was kind of watching him do it from the start, and he would always be talking about it and all his grandiose plans with it and everything. And it's really cool to see it finished.
Okay, talk what it is.
Okay.
We haven't introduced it yet.
Okay, so Ezra Street Level, and you can go to EzraStreetLevel.com right now if you're on a computer, and that's the best way to see it. Or if you're driving somewhere and you have your mobile phone, just pull that out while you're driving. Look up the Instagram for at Ezra Street Level, and you can see it there too. So now, I lived on Chicago Avenue. It's the name of the city, Chicago, that we're in, and it's not like the most touristy street. It's a very average street. But anyway, I wanted something that was very unabstract and something that people who live the ordinary Chicago life, and especially if I drew their place, to be able to step outside their house and say, like, my house is a piece of art now, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I drew 4.5 miles standing on the street for 2.5 years, sketched by hand every building on the south side of Chicago Avenue. From Sacramento to Lake Michigan.
Right, yeah.
And 2.5 years of standing on the street. And now with the final product, 4.5 miles, full color, 160-foot panoramic, 7 inches tall. And then it's all online. And if you go on the website, you can move the artwork left and right on the screen. And you can hover over buildings, and it'll tell you what year they were built, the address.
Wow.
Click on the building, go inside.
Wow.
And it'll tell you who was president, mayor.
And we got to link that. But what's the website again?
Ezra, E-Z-R-A, streetlevel.com. And you can look at it on a mobile, but it's best to go to Instagram, Ezra Street Level.
2.5 years?
2.5 years of sketching. 2.5 years of coloring and painting. I did some of that at home. From photographs, but I sketched everything standing on the street.
You were standing on the street.
And then another 2 years of working on like research and finding a team that I could put together. A guy named Benoit and another guy named Tony helped me.
I know Benoit, yeah.
Benoit, and helped me basically design this website and have it function the way that I dreamed it to function. And
did you do this year-round? In the cold weather and the rain and stuff?
Well, I could make it out there on the street until about... after New Year's, like if the weather was 45 degrees or higher, that was great. The further I got from my home base, the longer I wanted to stay out there, you know. And so I would try to find days where I could get out early enough to get some sun and feel kind of warm. But I would take a break during the coldest parts. But initially, I thought I was going to just plow right through. No.
What did people say when they walked by?
Well, it's a conversation starter when you're out there. And I kind of wanted to meet people, and I wanted to get drawing gigs, you know, meeting folks out there. I thought that would be a good way to at least do my thing in public. So I would be making connections as I go. But, people were positive about it. I kind of told them, well, it might take me another year. might take me a year. Maybe I'll be done in a few months and I'll let you know. And so I'd write their email address on the back, but it took me years and years longer.
We got to take a break. I got a couple more questions on that. And okay. We got to squeeze one more song in before we leave. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Nocturnal Journal on... are you there? Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. We're here with Ben Ezra and Steve Stoll.
Hello, America, Canada, Mexico. Good to talk to you again.
How was that financed, the street level mural? I mean, did you just do it?
I got all my boards and panels cut from the scrap bin at April 7's Custom Framing here in Chicago. It was like matte board. It's acid-free and everything. It just made a nice drawing surface, and that's what I was playing around on the most. And so I just started cutting them a certain shape and, like, connecting them one after another together, then kind of holding about 2 feet in my hand at one time and then connecting the lining them up next to each other and crossing the pencil lines across and then going, you know.
Did Cops come out? Did ROM come out? Did anybody...
No, so yeah, I financed it myself, but I did have to buy a lot of markers and things later on. But
did anyone ask you what you were doing? I mean, permits or anything? Did you get anything like that?
Yes. Well, it was an opportunity for a lot of people to ask me for money because I'm just standing there hanging out on the corner. I got hit on by shop owners. Like, I won't even go any further with that, but I'll just say I got hit on. That was interesting. I got spit on.
Really?
But it wasn't on purpose. They were like just talking and really loud, and there's little pieces of chicken flying out, and so I was having to guard my panel, you know.
So it's just like this radio show.
I had longer hair at the time, and a guy came up and was like, "Excuse me, ma'am, what are you working on there?" And then, "Oh, sir, sorry.
Really?
I had a guy come up and talk about Shel Silverstein with me. On the street, I had a lady give me $20 because she, like, I reminded her of her brother who was into art and is no longer around, and so she was sitting on a bus with a bunch of tourists, and she got off, and whatever you need it for, like pencils or whatever.
So many questions. Did you journal any of this? I know in some of my notes you were talking about writing and looking for book publishers and stuff. Did you keep a diary of any of this stuff? It's so fantastic what you did and your devotion to it. You know, you didn't give up.
Yeah, I have a lot of. Probably more an email form, just updating my friends about what's going on in my life and like updating them on that. And I do have some notes scattered about many, many copies of ways where I'm just trying to like word it right. And it's such a complex project to describe and 5-10 different storylines that could spring out of, you know, talking about it. And so, yeah, a lot of rough drafts.
This is radio, but you brought in a couple, some panels, and I asked you to pick your favorite panel. So tell the listeners what we have here.
So you're looking there at Holy Name Cathedral on State in Chicago. And that one and the panel next to it I just love because it's such an open space, and it really does feel like you're there.
You said this is one of your favorites,
though. Yeah. To me, just like there's so much interesting going on. Sometimes I was really just drawing a brick wall for, you know, I drew whatever was there. And some things are so very ordinary, you don't think of them as being special enough to draw, but they are for me.
What's the medium on this? Is this pencil or pen or what did you do?
So I sketched with a mechanical pencil on the panel, and then I would go home and I would ink it down. At home that night, and if I forgot maybe or something had been blurred out somehow, I kind of saved that area and then I inked it in the next day, like to make sure I got it right.
You said you wanted to do this. You said you liked the strip of Chicago Avenue, but what it means to be human? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Technology is not a bad thing. I don't want to go on a crusade against that, but I think it was a few experiences of being in a car with someone, and I had always just taken notes in my pocket, like how to get places and what time and the address, and people would be like, "Oh, wait, let me look in my phone here, and where are we at?" And I was like, "You don't know where we're going? No, I don't know where we're at or anything." And I've always just been someone who, like, I try desperately to be present in where I'm at, location wise, and also just being out there and looking up and looking down, and I feel like I have such a connection with that street, like I'm the mayor of it. They don't know this, but I'm the mayor of Chicago Avenue. And I just, I'm like, I own that piece of sidewalk because I put the crack in it. So the guy that lives in that house comes out and say, that's the crack in front of my house.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Would you do that? Last question we'll do. We'll close out with a song. Would you do this in any other neighborhoods?
I'll consider it. Sure.
Maybe somebody listening would like to bring you.
Yeah. Just go to EzraStreetLevel.com. And play around on there on the computer, it's better. But if you want to Instagram it, Ezra Street Level on Instagram and Benjamin66Ezra on Instagram.
I mean, personal. There's a lot of neighborhoods in the Chicago area that could use...
there are, but also people...
Use the spirit of your work, you know?
Yeah, I want people to see it, but kind of think about their own block, you know?
Right.
I do a lot of house portraits for people.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to talk to you after the show.
Oh, okay.
All righty. Well, thanks, you guys. Thanks for coming down. Really wonderful. You got to come back.
Thank you.
Okay.
That'd be
Would
great.
You like to do that? I want to say thanks to everybody. Thanks to Dan Long for the engineering. Thanks to Roel Coleman for the production. Thank you guys so much for coming down. And sign us off with what's the name of the song?
This is called A Long Rain.
Mysteries of love.